The Colgate Sports Newsreel with Frank Sinatra, pinch hitting for Bill Stern.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shapery man, is far away, for this is his vacation time to rest and play. And for tonight, while he's away to take his place, we're glad to say is Frank Sinatra in person.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. For these 4 weeks, while Bill Stern is away on his vacation, Colgate Shave Cream is presenting four distinguished motion picture stars. Last week, it was Mr. John Garfield. Tonight, it's Frank Sinatra. Next Friday night, it'll be Mr. William Powell. And 2 weeks from tonight, Errol Flynn. Hence, for these weeks, while Bill is away on his vacation, four of the biggest stars in Hollywood will pinch hit for him. As they take over his role as America's foremost spinner of sports yarns, these stars will borrow their own favorite stories from Bill's pocketbook entitled My Favorite Sports Stories. Some stories that are true, some that are legends, some that are beyond belief, but all of them great yarns from that fascinating world of sports. And so, without further ado, here is tonight's guest star, pinch hitting for Bill Stern, Frank Sinatra.
Like Don said, my name's Frank Sinatra, though some people have called me The Voice. Perhaps you do or you don't know the story behind the story of my voice, but it really doesn't matter. Because tonight, while my friend Bill Stern is away, I'd like to tell you one of the many stories he's collected. It's the strange story behind another voice, a voice that has thrilled the world. And strangely enough, behind that voice is the story of a fighter, a sports story that changed a man's life. Quite a few years ago, a big, husky, happy-go-lucky youngster came out of Bakersfield, California, to join the United States Navy. This California youngster soon became one of the best heavyweight boxers in the United States Pacific Fleet. One day, long before World War II, the battleship this youngster was on anchored at the Japanese port of Nagasaki. And early the next morning, the youngster decided to go ashore and see a bit of Japan. But by mid-afternoon, he was pretty fed up with Japan and Japanese customs. It seemed that no matter what he wanted to do, there was always a grinning Japanese policeman to tell him, "Oh, so sorry, no can do." The California youngster became bored, decided to buy a cheap camera and take some pictures of the port of Nagasaki. However, no sooner had he started than a grinning Japanese policeman said, "Oh, so sorry, no can do," and tried to take his camera away. Well, sir, this was a little too much for the American, and a struggle ensued. And with one punch, he knocked the grinning Jap policeman down. Immediately, the Jap blew his whistle, and other Japanese policemen came running from every direction. The California youngster decided to make a dash for freedom. With another well-aimed uppercut, another Jap hit the pavement, and the American boy was on his way, running full speed up the nearest street, looking for any American store he could find. Because he felt that if he could find an American store, it might give him some protection. Finally, he did see an American store. It was a phonograph shop. It advertised American phonograph records in the window. And the California youngster rushed in.
"Hey, listen, buddy. You're an American, aren't you?"
"Why, yes, I am. I sell American phonographs and records. They're the best in the world."
"Can the sales talk? Look, I just smacked two Japanese policemen. Now, don't ask me why, I'll tell you later, but they're hot on my heels. Will you help a fellow American in distress and hide me?"
"Well, I don't know."
"Listen, mister, I'm a sailor in the United States Navy. Will you please help me, but quick?"
"Well, okay, sailor. Get in that phonograph booth. Play as many records as I give you. And don't come out till I tell you to. Now get in that booth and take these records and shut the door."
The California youngster took the phonograph records, went into the tiny phonograph booth, and began playing them. He couldn't be seen from the outside, and he thought he'd duck the Japanese police until several of them came into the American phonograph store. The Japs wanted to know whether he had seen an American sailor, a big, rough, tough fellow, but he said,
"Why, no, sir. There's no one here but a musician who's playing some opera selections, some operatic recordings."
Well, that satisfied the Japanese police. They listened to the sounds coming from the booth for a moment and realized that a hard-boiled American sailor surely wouldn't be interested in classical music. So they hurried down the street in wild pursuit. Well, sir, that's all there is to the simple story of an American sailor who saved himself from the Japanese police by staying in that phonograph booth listening to operatic selections all afternoon. And only when darkness fell did the California youngster venture back on the streets. But that 4.5 hours this California youngster had to remain in that phonograph booth listening to operatic records had a very curious effect. You see, it was the first time this boy had ever listened to serious music. And he liked it so much that he decided that when he left the Navy, music was to be his career. And he did make music his career. And there's the story. The story of a prize fighter who began his fighting in the United States Navy. But one day while in the Navy, he slugged two Japanese policemen. And to get away from them, he wound up listening to serious music in a phonograph booth. And he liked that music so well that he decided to study music. But I don't think he's ever been sorry. For even though a fistfight may have gotten him interested in music, he's done mighty well at it. Because today the whole world knows this famous fighter, this former fighter, as one of America's most famous opera stars, Lawrence Tibbett. But this brilliant career would never have started if Lawrence Tibbett hadn't felt handy with his fists.
Frank Sinatra will be back in a moment with more sports stories. But first, since we're speaking from Hollywood tonight, I know that here in Hollywood, there are a lot of fellows who complain about their shaves. Maybe you do yourself. All I know is there's a tremendous difference in shaving when you use Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream. It does what everyone wants, gives you a fast, clean, close shave without razor drag and scrape. And this proposition will prove it. Here it is. There's $1 cash says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. You'll go for it immediately. Here's why.
Because it's light and finer textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
That lighter, finer texture makes Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream a super beard softener. You've never seen whiskers come off so slick or enjoyed a shave so smooth and comfortable. And it's economical to use, spreads easier and further. Try it. Get a large or giant-sized tube or jar of Colgate Brushless tomorrow. Use it a week. If you're not completely sold that it's the shave of shaves, return the carton top to Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, New Jersey, and you'll get your dollar back pronto. Is it a deal? As $1 cash says, Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. And now back to Frank Sinatra, who tonight is pinch-hitting for Bill Stern.
Ours is a great heritage, a land of freedom, and out of our way of life come strange success stories. I'd like to tell you such a story as Bill Stern heard it told out in the Middle West. He was out there to cover a football game, but the talk turned to baseball. And this is the way the story goes. It all began some years ago when a kid was growing up in a small Midwestern town. And like most American kids, he learned to play baseball. And like a good many kids, when he grew up, he needed money. He became good enough to play with his hometown ball team, and one summer he reported to a semi-pro team in hopes of pocketing a few dollars. He was young, but he was husky for his age, and he was fast on the field, had a powerful throwing arm, and he could belt a ball a country mile. The manager of the semi-pros watched him in practice one day, and later in the dressing room, he told the youngster,
"I don't know where you learned to play ball, son, but stick around. You got the makings to play in the big league someday. By the way, what did you say your name was, boy?"
The boy hesitated and then said his name was Wilson. The manager wrote it down, and soon that name appeared in the lineup as an outfielder. And in no time at all, Wilson showed his wares. He quickly became one of the best outfielders in the league. He made few errors, and no rival base runner dared to stretch a hit on any ball that went into Wilson's territory. He was a ball player to watch, a fellow who seemed destined to make his mark in the big leagues before long. And then a strange thing happened. He made an important decision, a decision to give up his career in baseball. He packed his spike shoes and left the club. In a few weeks, the excitement died down, and Wilson's place in baseball was taken by another youngster. And soon, Wilson, the ball player, was completely forgotten. Wilson left the club about 36 years ago, and no one ever heard again of the promising Bush League player. No one heard of him, that is, until a short while ago, when the once-upon-a-time semi-pro outfielder turned up again and disclosed his long-forgotten baseball identity. You see, that ball player of long ago missed out on baseball glory, yet he found fame through his decision to take up another career, because in time he became one of the most famous Americans in history, for all the world now knows him as Dwight Eisenhower. You hear that song? You know its name? Sure, you know its name. The greatest song ever written about baseball. The imperishable Take Me Out to the Ball Game. During the baseball season, I'm sure you'll hear the song played and sung 1,001 times, because it's a tune that has all the color, all the swing, all the punch and feeling of the game. It's the theme song of a great nation's national pastime, a diamond hymn for free Americans. Yes, and there's a story behind the song, a very curious story. Many years ago, there was a famous songwriter and vaudeville star named Jack Norwood. The stage was his only passion and music his only outlet. He had no time for sports. His specialty was composing love songs and singing them to enthusiastic audiences. One day, Jack Norwood began playing around with a new tune, a tune that would express the meaning and romance of baseball. After all, he thought, there are famous football songs. Why not a song for baseball, too? But try as he would, Norworth couldn't seem to find a proper tune to fit the idea of baseball. The thought continued to haunt him day and night at home and away. Wherever he went, Jack Norworth heard the tune in his head. And then one night in 1906, as he sat alone in his room, it came out rather very clearly. The song was born, Take Me Out to the Ball Game. And the next day, it was a nervous Jack Norworth who tried out that new song in a theater audience. When his songs were about love, they had gone over very big. This song about baseball was something altogether different. He was afraid that the theater audience wouldn't quite like it. So hesitantly, he began to sing the first few bars. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. When he finished singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, the audience went wild. They applauded and cheered and made him sing it again and again. The song was surely a hit. Take Me Out to the Ball Game became the most popular song in the country. People whistled it, sang it, and hummed it. It seemed to be a song that expressed all the excitement and color of baseball. The national pastime adopted the song as its own. It became its theme song, its national anthem. And that's the story of baseball's own anthem, a story that will burn in sports memory as long as our national pastime is played by free men in a free land. Oh, yes, there's just one more thing about the story of this imperishable song which you might be interested to know. It's the strangest part of the story, because, you see, Jack Norworth, the man who many years ago wrote, Take Me Out to the Ball Game, never had ever seen a baseball game in his life. 'Cause it's 1, 2, 3 strikes you're out at the old ball. I'll be back in just a moment to tell you who's going to pinch hit for Bill Stern next week. But first, since we're broadcasting tonight from Hollywood, here is the best in the West, Don Stanley.
If you're looking for smooth, comfortable shaves, here's a proposition made to order for you. There's $1, cash, says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. And here's why.
Because it's light and finer textured, Colgate Brushless completely surrounds, softens, and supports each bristle better than greasy, heavy creams. No matting down, no clogging. Your razor doesn't skid or skip when you use Colgate Brushless, but cuts through clean and smooth.
Give Colgate Brushless Shaving Cream a trial. See how this light, fine-textured cream does away with razor scrape, gives you really smooth, clean, comfortable shaves. Get a large or giant-sized tuber jar of Colgate Brushless tomorrow.
Remember, if 1 week's use doesn't convince you it's the shave of shaves, send us the carton top, and we'll mail you $1 at once. Address Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City 2, New Jersey. How about it? There's $1, cash. Says Colgate Brushless wins you in a flash. And now back to Frank Sinatra.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great pleasure for me to pinch hit for Bill Stern tonight. I generally listen to him telling his stories of fact or of legend from the world of sports each Friday night, so naturally, I got quite a bang out of taking his place tonight. Next week, to spin these yarns, will come a guy who's got a great chance in motion pictures, name of William Powell. That I got to hear. And I hope you'll be listening, too. Before I say goodnight, I want to thank Bill Stern for asking me to pinch hit for him. And now if you'll just come over to the hit parade to knock down a small song, why, we'll be even. Good night.
Next Friday night, another great motion picture star will be pinch hitting for your sports story spinner, Bill Stern. For as Frank Sinatra told you, next Friday night, it'll be William Powell. Be sure to listen next Friday evening, same time, same station, when William Powell pinch hits for Bill Stern.
Bill Stern, the Colgate Shapery Man, is far away, for this is his vacation time to rest and play. And for next week, when he's away to take his place, we're glad to say we'll bring you Mr. William Powell. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Frank Sinatra appeared on this program tonight by arrangement with MGM, producers of Irving Berlin's Technicolor musical Easter Parade, starring Judy Garland and Fred Astaire. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.